In the morning, after paying for the usual tea and two slices and buying half an ounce of tobacco, I had a halfpenny left. I did not care to ask B for more money yet, so there was nothing for it but to go to a casual ward. I had very little idea how to set about this, but I knew that there was a casual ward at Rompton, so I walked out there, arriving at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Leaning against the pigpens in Rompton Marketplace was a wizened old Irishman, obviously a tramp. I went and leaned beside him, and presently offered him my tobacco box. He opened the box and looked at the tobacco in astonishment.
"By God," he said, "there's 6 pennyworth of good baccy here. Where the hell did you get hold of that? You ain't been on the road long."
"What, don't you have tobacco on the road?" I said.
"Oh, we has it. Look."
He produced a rusty tin, which had once held Oxo cubes. In it were 20 or 30 cigarette ends, picked up from the pavement. The Irishman said that he rarely got any other tobacco. He added that with care, one could collect 2 ounces of tobacco a day on the London pavements.
"Do you come out of one of the London spikes, eh?" he asked me.
I said yes, thinking this would make him accept me as a fellow tramp, and asked him what the spike at Rompton was like.
He said, "Well, 'tis a cocoa spike. 'Tis tea spikes and cocoa spikes and skilly spikes. They don't give you skilly in Rompton, thank God. Leastways, they didn't the last time I was here. I've been up to York and round Wales since."
"What is skilly?" I said.
"Skilly? A can of hot water with some bloody oatmeal at the bottom. That's skilly. The skilly spikes is always the worst."
We stayed talking for an hour or two. The Irishman was a friendly old man, but he smelt very unpleasant, which was not surprising when one learned how many diseases he suffered from. It appeared, he described his symptoms fully, that taking him from top to bottom he had the following things wrong with him. On his crown, which was bald, he had eczema. He was short-sighted and had no glasses. He had chronic bronchitis. He had some undiagnosed pain in the back. He had dyspepsia. He had urethritis. He had varicose veins, bunions, and flat feet. With this assemblage of diseases, he had tramped the roads for 15 years. At about 5, the Irishman said,
"Could you do with a cup of tea? The spike don't open till 6.
"I should think I could."
"Well, there's a place here where they gives you a free cup of tea and a bun. Good tea it is. They makes you say a lot of bloody prayers after, but hell, it all passes the time away. You come with me."
He led the way to a small tin-roofed shed in a side street, rather like a village cricket pavilion. About 25 other tramps were waiting. A few of them were dirty old habitual vagabonds, the majority decent-looking lads from the north, probably miners or cotton operatives, out of work. Presently the door opened, and a lady in a blue silk dress wearing gold spectacles and a crucifix welcomed us in. Inside were 30 or 40 hard chairs, a harmonium, and a very gory lithograph of the crucifixion. Uncomfortably, we took off our caps and sat down. The lady handed out the tea, and while we ate and drank, she moved to and fro, talking benignly. She talked upon religious subjects, about Jesus Christ always having a soft spot for poor rough men like us, and about how quickly the time passed when you were in church, and what a difference it made to a man on the road if he said his prayers regularly. We hated it. We sat against the wall, fingering our caps. A tramp feels indecently exposed with his cap off, and turning pink and trying to mumble something when the lady addressed us. There was no doubt that she meant it all kindly. As she came up to one of the North Country lads with a plate of buns, she said to him,
"And you, my boy, how long is it since you knelt down and spoke with your Father in heaven?"
Poor lad, not a word could he utter, but his belly answered for him, with a disgraceful rumbling which it set up at the sight of the food. Thereafter he was so overcome with shame that he could scarcely swallow his bun. Only one man managed to answer the lady in her style, and he was a spry, red-nosed fellow looking like a corporal who had lost his stripe for drunkenness. He could pronounce the words "the dear Lord Jesus" with less sham than anyone I ever saw. No doubt he had learned the knack in prison. Tea ended, and I saw the tramps looking furtively at one another. An unspoken thought was running from man to man. Could we possibly make off before the prayers started? Someone stirred in his chair, not getting up actually, but with just a glance at the door, as though half suggesting the idea of departure. The lady quelled him with one look. She said in a more benign tone than ever,
"I don't think you need go quite yet. The casual ward doesn't open till 6, and we have time to kneel down and say a few words to our father first. I think we should all feel better after that, shouldn't we?"
The red-nosed man was very helpful, pulling the harmonium into place and handing out the prayer books. His back was to the lady as he did this, and it was his idea of a joke to deal the books like a pack of cards, whispering to each man as he did so,
"There you are, mate. There's a fucking nap, and for you, 4 aces and a king, etc."
Bareheaded, we knelt down among the dirty teacups and began to mumble that we had left undone those things that we ought to have done, and done those things that we ought not to have done, and there was no health in us. The lady prayed very fervently, but her eyes roved over us all the time, making sure that we were attending. When she was not looking, we grinned and winked at one another and whispered bawdy jokes just to show that we did not care. But it stuck in our throats a little. No one except the red-nosed man was self-possessed enough to speak the responses above a whisper. We got on better with the singing, except that one old tramp knew no tune but Onward Christian Soldiers and reverted to it sometimes, spoiling the harmony. The prayers lasted half an hour, and then, after a handshake at the door, we made off.
"Well," said somebody as soon as we were out of hearing, "the trouble's over. Thought them fucking prayers was never going to end." "You had your bun," said another. "You got to pay for it."
"Pray for it, you mean? Oh, you don't get much for nothing. They can't even give you a tuppenny cup of tea without you go down on your fucking knees for it."
There were murmurs of agreement. Evidently the tramps were not grateful for their free tea. And yet it was excellent tea, as different from coffee shop tea as good Bordeaux is from the muck called colonial claret. We were all glad of it. I'm sure, too, that it was given in a good spirit, without any intention of humiliating us. So, in fairness, we ought to have been grateful. Still, we were not.